Our gracious, our loving God and Father, we give thee thanks that Jesus died for me. We hope each one here can say it. If so, this gospel will be a joy for them to hear. If they're not saved, it won't be so happy, but it's so necessary that they realize what lies ahead for them should they go on in their sins. And so we know, Father, thou would have all awakened and realize the terrible peril they're in if they're not saved and belong to Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Our God and Father, we ask for help, and we look to thee in faith in the precious, worthy name of the only Savior of sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when I was driving along, I was looking for some music on the radio, and I heard a deep, rich voice. It was a black man, and he was going to preach a gospel. Well, I didn't hear the gospel, but I heard his introduction, because his voice was so rich, I wanted to hear what he said. And he said, tonight, I'm preaching on this verse, Genesis 3:10. Adam, where art thou? Then he said, I divides it into three parts. You know, falsely he said, every man has got to be somewhere. Secondly, he said, some men are just where they ought not to be. And thirdly, those that are where they ought not to be, sure will be where they don't want to be if they don't get saved. And that was a beautiful way, wasn't it? I would have liked to heard his gospel, but I didn't. I wanted music. Okay, we'll read still in Titus. Now we'll read in Titus verse 4. Titus 3 verse 4. Verse 3 says, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures. That describes every sinner outside of Christ. That's the way it is. But after that, verse 4, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. 6. He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, but being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. The kindness and mercy of God. Then a wonderful expression, the kindness and mercy of God. Do you know God that way? If you don't, you don't know God at all. If you don't know God the Father in his kindness and his mercy and his grace, you don't know him. You need to be saved. You know, it says, have you experienced that mercy? I have. But if you haven't experienced that mercy, you're lost. And that's a sad thing to be on your way to hell. Well, you may be religious. I'm not saying that. You may be very good citizen and all that. You may even be active and faithful in a church of some kind, or you may attend service on Christmas Eve, or perhaps Easter Sunday, or perhaps some of these days, I begin to forget them, Good Friday, on and on. But you may still be lost. You know, only Christ saves. All that doesn't save. It had nothing to do with salvation. And you know, this is a faithful saying. That's what it said. What makes a saying faithful? Who said it? If you have confidence in who said it, that's what makes it faithful. And you know, we have it in this. God cannot lie. And this is the word of God. You know, it says it is impossible for God to lie. I think that's beautiful. We have the hope of eternal life. which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Well, this is the gospel we're going to have today. Turn to Romans 3. I just want to mention one thing that Paul brought out so clear, the Apostle Paul. Romans 3. What advantages, verse 1, then has the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Why? Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Unto us is committed the whole Word of God. Isn't that precious when you think about it? Then he said, for what if some did not believe? Gentiles were getting saved all over, but not too many Jews after that first epic there where Peter preached and others, and they were scattered. But Paul was finding they didn't receive it too well. He said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar. I've often thought if everybody I'm preaching to today doesn't believe and they walk out lost, doesn't make any difference with my soul. I'm going to glory. And Satan can't stop me, and I won't be able to get myself out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm on my way because His Word has effect, and I've believed it. I hope all of you believe what you hear tonight, feeble as it'll be given out, because it's still the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you're going to hear a little of the Word of God tonight. And I know you've all heard before. It doesn't mean you're saved, but it means God is faithful, and He's going to get the message to you. Well, we'll look on. This is a faithful saying. You know, we have that in 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 1:15. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Did you ever claim your place there as sinners? You know, you're all qualified to go to heaven. You're sinners and you're lost. You can't do one thing. You ever claim that, or do you disqualify yourself? If you disqualify yourself and say, I'm not such a bad sinner as my neighbor or this guy who ends up in jail, you won't get there. Hell is your destination unless you can take that place. Faithful saying, because it's the Word of God, and God cannot lie. He that hath received His testimony, it says in John, has set to His seal that God is true. Isn't that wonderful? If you believe the testimony from the Word of God, you set to your seal that God is true. I used to be a notary, and I sealed many, many documents. And they were authentic throughout the whole world because I put the notary seal on it. You know, but I haven't got a seal that says I'm authentic. You know, the very fact that I belong to Christ is my seal that God is true, because I walk trustfully, I do as I should before Him, and I preach, I hope, faithfully before Him. That's my seal, proof that I'm saved. Isn't that wonderful? We set to our seal that God is true. I think that's a beautiful verse. When a sinner receives Jesus Christ, he is saved, and he knows it. I have no doubt. I know. Paul said, I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. And I say, yea and amen, Paul. I too. You know, that's really the seal. There can't anything shake you from it. There was a General Howard in the Civil War, and he was one of the best generals General Ulysses Grant had, and they were very close friends. General Howard got saved down in Tampa in the barracks of the soldiers. He liked to mix with the soldiers, and there was a gospel given. And it touched his heart and convicted his soul of his need. And General Howard, that great man, went to that old, ugly, rugged table in the middle. He kneeled down, put his Bible on the table, and he confessed Christ openly. He got saved. You know, the word went around the army camp fast. General Howard is a Christian. General Howard is saved. People just couldn't believe it. The next morning, he was heading for the officer's dining room, and one of his officers was coming toward him, who was an infidel. He was a scoffer, didn't believe the Bible, and he said, "Howard, is it true what I heard, that you're a Christian?" Howard said, "Yes, it's true. Last night, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I haven't been so happy ever since. I'm a Christian. I believe the Word of God." You know what he said? He said, "Howard, I could show you 100 discrepancy in that book right now." And Howard said, "You keep your discrepancies to yourself. You can't show me that I didn't receive Christ last night and that I was so happy I haven't slept a wink. You can't show me that. God will take care of all the discrepancies in His time." And he walked on. Very good answer, brethren, because the world can't understand us if we're saved. There was a rich man, and I think you've all heard of him, a railroad baron named Cornelius Vanderbilt. I think he was a multimillionaire, because I know he died with $100 million. I guess that makes him multi. And he was on his deathbed, and all of his family were gathered. Of course, the doctor was there too. And they were all paying the last loving comments to Vanderbilt. And you know, he called for his black valet, who was with him for many years, who was saved. And the valet came up nervously, and Vanderbilt said, "Come here." And he came here, and he said, "Please sing me that song." And the hymn he sang so beautifully was, I hope I remember it. Oh, I shouldn't have even started if I don't remember. Let's see. It was, I can't remember. I want to go on. Anyway, something about poor and needy sinner. And when he got done, Vanderbilt said to his family, "I'm that poor and needy sinner, and I'm saved." You know, he was $100 millionaire, but poor in this world, and went home really rich. $100 billion means nothing to what he inherited there. It's a beautiful story. You just have to believe, not think it out, not reason it out. Satan will be sure you're wrong every time. You just believe what God said. Let's turn to Psalms. Turn to Psalms. I think it's 85, Psalms 85. If you're in Canada, it's Sam. Same thing, Psalms 85. And verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace. You know, it's not hidden from you. It's a wonderful thing. The word of salvation, the gospel of God, is open and out for every sinner in this whole world. I think it's, so it's, show us thy mercy, O Lord. He's shown it to you many times, you know. God gets the word out. He gets the word out many ways. But we've preached among derelicts in Toronto where they have a white screen and they put up numbers and all the hymns that they want to call. And those men come in really ragged and undone. They sit down because after they sing gospel hymns and hear the word of God, they get fed. And you know, they ask for them to call a hymn, and then they'll sing it. There's a piano player there, and the hymn they always call first is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Isn't that lovely? They learned it in Sunday school. God is so faithful. You know, you've heard in funerals, I know you have, the gospel, or at least the word of God, enough to save. One verse can take you to heaven. And so God is so faithful, and that's what it says here. The word is nigh unto thee, it's not far. I think it's, verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Come unto me, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for my soul. But if you don't fear God, it's no use telling you. If you haven't got a holy reverence of God and who he is, you won't believe what I tell you anyway. But it has to be those that fear God. Turn to Acts 13 for that. I just came to mind. Acts 13. And I think Paul speaking. Acts chapter 13, verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. You know, it's a beautiful thought. What's the use of speaking to somebody that doesn't believe this is God's word? I don't waste time. Until they believe at least it's God's word, I don't waste time anymore. There's too many souls to reach, and you don't reach those. You know, if they believe there is no God, they're going to mock and ridicule. Well, that's the thought here. You know, and look what it says in 28, I think. And though they... No. I'll go back. In the end of verse 26. Whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning Jesus. And though they found no cause of death in Jesus, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God, I love the but gods in the Word of God, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witness unto the people. And we declare unto you the glad tidings, how the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same. Verse 38, be it known unto you that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. How many sins have you committed? I had a mountain of them when I was saved. A mountain of them. You know what? They're all gone. I haven't got a sin left to answer to God. Not one. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ took all those sins in his body on the tree when he died for me. And that's what I want you to know for yourself. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. We'll turn to Acts 36 again. 15, I think. Acts 36 this time and 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. O, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. show me a token for good. You know, you must have that token. If you remember Rahab at Jericho, the harlot on the wall, had a good business going there, and she was fearing God. You know, come unto me, all ye that fear God, and I'll tell you. And the spies came to Rahab's house on top of the wall of Jericho, and she hid them who were searching for them, because the rumor got out, the Israelites have sent spies in, they're going to attack this city. And she hid them, how beautiful, on the roof. And then she said how they could be saved and get away after they spied it out. She turned traitor on her own country. So did I when I received Christ. So will you if you receive Christ. You have to turn your back on the country and this world. It's a terrible world. It's the valley of the shadow of death. All this world can give is death. That's all, because of sin. Well, she turned her back on it because she knew God had something better. And you know what she said to those spies before they left? Give me a token. Isn't that something? You got to have the token. Give me a token. And what was the token they gave her? Blood. A red line. Put in thy window when we return, and you'll be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. So she didn't do what they said. As soon as they left, she hung it in her window. She didn't wait till they returned. But that's all right, you know. If you want to be sure and sure, do just that. When I was saved, you know, I was so pleased and so happy. But Satan got to work. He says, you're not saved. How can you do the things you're still doing and be saved? Well, I really was sad. So what I did, I took Satan right back to the cross again. And he had such a dubbing there, he left me alone. Hadn't bothered me about that since. Isn't that wonderful? That's the word of God. Satan can't resist it. He can't trouble you if you believe the word of God. Well, that's what we're talking about. Give me a token. You know, whenever I speak of a token, I think of England. I was in England with my wife, and we had been done visiting all the assemblies in England. And we were at Gatwick Airport, and I was getting ready to go. I'm sorry, I didn't tell that right. We were heading for Gatwick Airport. We had been in Fulham. Now, Fulham had only one sister there and no brothers. Big building, and it leaked in the roof. But a young brother came there every Lord's Day so they could break bread and remember the Lord. That's all that was left in Fulham. And you know, we had a lovely time breaking bread. He came with his wife, though there was five of us, a crowd. And you know, as we were singing hymns, a lady came in, middle-aged, cotton cloth coat, you know, ragged, there's some holes in it, she had babushka on. She walked right in and sat down. She stayed the whole time. And you know, some place like England, where they're down to one or two, that's a thrilling thing. So we talked to her after the meeting. Now, Brother Honeyset had his car ready. So he said, I'll lead you to the airport. You just follow me. I'll get you through the traffic and you might make your plane. He knew when we were taking off. So as we talked to this woman, she said, I've walked by many times that big church across the street, the cathedral there. She said, but they didn't want me there. I walked in a few times, and they said, well, we have no public restrooms or something, you know. And so she said, this time I walked on this side of the street, and I heard that beautiful singing. Little flock hymn book, you know. Something beautiful about it. Not that we sing beautiful, but we make a joyful noise. That's what God wants. She heard it. She walked in. And we were all so excited because that would double the existing meeting, 100% increase. That's wonderful, isn't it? Well, what happened was my wife was sitting in the car. So was Brother Honeysett, or Honeycutt, I think. There's a Honeysett in the United States, Honeycutt there. But don't matter. Anyway, he had his motor going, and my wife had my motor going. And I still was so enthused talking to her. You know, I thought, well, I ran out, and I jumped in the car. We went. Got there in time. I said to my wife, you take the tickets and take care of everything, and I'm going to turn the car in, and I'll be back in time to take off. Okay, I was, too. She was in the plane, and everybody was in the plane. They hadn't taken off yet, so I went running up. You know, where's your passport? You know where it was? Back in Fulham. I left my lunch pail there. I mean, my Bible case. Yeah. So, what do you do? I don't know. I watched the plane take off. Isn't that awful? That's the last I saw my wife for 5 days. So, I didn't have the token. You know, isn't it awful if you don't have the token when the Lord comes? Open to us, Lord. Didn't we do many wonderful things in thy name? Didn't I teach Sunday school for 8 years in thy name? All these things, Lord. I never knew you. You don't have the token. You know, we went on the, when the Board of Trade was still there, the Twin Towers, took our kids down there. And you know, I didn't know anything about New York, and they warned me all the things that I should do. I left my van in Chatham, because everybody said you can't take it into the heart of New York. You lose your tires or something. So we were going to take the bullet. And I had all the instructions to take the bullet. And so they said it comes in fast, and you load fast, and it goes out fast, so watch it with those kids. I think we had about 9 then, I'm not sure. At any rate, we were waiting, all the kids kept together, and the door opened, and as we went in, one man was still running. Hold the door, he says, and he had his briefcase. I think he was a lawyer. But the door slammed shut, and he ended up, and I saw his expression. He missed it. You know, it's an awful thing to miss it. Well, we started going, and I got a little adjusted, and I said to the man next to me, how long before we get to the Board of Trade Center? What? You're on the wrong one. You know, it's just as bad to be on the wrong one as to miss the right one. Come on. That's it. Religion won't get you to heaven, brethren. I hope no one's depending on religion. No, I've taken too long to tell you that. Okay, where were we? All right, 86:17. Yeah, show me a token. Oh, how wonderful that is. The token is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a token. You know, it's a token to heaven. It's a token to pleasure and glory here. It's a token to joy that you'll never have if you're in your sins. I hope there isn't about anybody sitting here in your sins. How sad that would be. You know, Christ is our Passover. He sacrificed for us. Isn't that a beautiful verse? That's 1 Corinthians 5:7. Yeah, maybe. Anyway, it's there. Oh, cross of Christ, I love that hymn. Oh, glorious tree, what place can be compared with thee? Where God's own Son was crucified and for our sins a ransom died. Do you have that token? Think what He gave to give you that token. He took the brutality and the hostility of His own creatures. And they spit in His face, brethren. And they sat down there to watch Him suffer. And He knew what they were saying, but more than that, He knew the thoughts in their hearts before they became thoughts in their minds. And yet, you know what He said before He died? Father, forgive them. Can you imagine that? Father, forgive them. the ones that were crucifying him. He said, they know not what they do, but they knew, and you know. And if you haven't received him as your Lord and Savior, you're responsible to God. You're going to have to do with God about your sins. You know, God doesn't overlook sin. He can't overlook sin. Thank God my sins are gone in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Well, we'll turn to Genesis 2. Genesis 2, the seed plot of the Word of God. Genesis 2, verse 16. No, 15. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What was it if they took of that fruit? Sin. Everyone here is a sinner by birth. That's it. You're a sinner by practice, too. But if you're saved, you're a saved sinner. That's nice. Only a sinner saved by grace. But God never calls a sinner again once he's in his Son, Christ. Isn't that precious? He never calls us a sinner once we're saved. No, we're saved. I like that better, don't you? A saint. Yeah. Well, I better go on. Thou shalt surely die. Read chapter 3 and verse 4. And the serpent, which is Satan, said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What is that? That's a lie. It's a lie. Because Satan is a liar from the beginning and the father of the lie. Have you ever lied? It's not just the sin, it's Satan working in you. He takes your mind and makes it his plaything. And you know, I'm sad to say, Eve was deceived here. Isn't that something? Eve was deceived. And she told Adam, hey, that's a good tree. We're not going to surely die. Don't worry about that. The serpent told me we're not going to die. You read chapter 5, I'm not going to take time, and you'll find everyone mentioned, no matter how many years he lived, 610 or 780 or 940, and he died. Isn't that something? Sinner, if you're still in your sins, you're going to die. But not just die. You're going to have second death. How awful. You ever heard of second death? Well, the Lord wants you to know about it. Because if you die in your sins, you're going to die again. And that eternal separation from a holy God who's love and light. That is second death. And in hell, lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels, but you'll share it if you don't receive Christ. If you're lost, I hope you do tonight. But at any rate, it's not prepared for you, but you're going to be there if you die in your sins. How awful. What is hell like, the lake of fire? The blackness of darkness forever. Why? Because God is light, and second death is eternal separation from God. There's no light in hell. What else is hell? Many things. God speaks more of hell than heaven. Why? Because he doesn't want you to go there. He wants you in heaven. He wants you in glory. The other thing about hell, there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the loudest sound you'll hear if you're there is your own teeth gnashing above all the others. What does that speak of? Torments. There's no love in hell. That's it. No love. God is love. And God is light. And eternal separation from him, second death, that's where you are. How awful. Well, I better go on. Let's see, where were we? Second Corinthians. Try 2 Corinthians chapter 13. No, I'm going to turn to Romans. Sorry. I'm going to turn to Romans and chapter, because time's running out. Romans and chapter 3 again. Romans 3. We haven't got much time left. You know, the worst enemy of me is time. Yeah, that's it. But time will cease to be someday. Thank God, no clocks in heaven. All right. Romans, I'm taking my time here. Romans 3, verse 22. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned. You're all qualified. The righteousness of God is unto everybody in this room. No question about it. But you notice, it's unto all that believe. I hope you believe before you leave this building, because we expect the Lord to come any moment. I've often thought when I preach the gospel, what if he comes before we sing the last hymn or pray? And you're sitting in your seat, one or two or four of you, you'll know what happened. We didn't leave going out the door. We're gone. We just went through the ceiling. You'll know your condition and your fate then. I can't think of anything more awful, can you, than to sit there and know you're going to hell. Well, I didn't mean to get into that, but that's so solemn to me. All right. Well, 3:26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. How can a holy, righteous, sin-hating God be just and justify me, a sinner, without punishing me for any sin? How can he do that? Doesn't sound right, does it? It's what it says. He'll justify you if you'll just believe his word. That's all. Because he wants you in glory in his house. He wants you to be an eternal companion to his son. And he'll do anything to convict you of your need. You know, just and justifier. Isn't that lovely? Of them that believe. It's all you have to do. Believe on Jesus. You know, God's provided him as a substitute for sinners. Jesus first died on that cross for sin of this world. That's unto all. Everyone here. But it is it's upon those that believe. That's it. If you believe Jesus as Savior and Lord, your sins are gone and you have the righteousness of God in him. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Just wonderful. I can't help but dwell on those thoughts. To declare this, to declare his righteousness, that he, that is God, might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. I think it's so lovely. You know, he's just when he justified me. He didn't overlook one little lie that I told, one bad thought that I had, one foolish thought, for the foolish thought is sin. We don't understand sin, but that is a sin. And I still sin. I'm glad they quit so many bumper stickers, because when I drove, I sinned all the time. I'm sorry, God. I read those bumper stickers. Well, anyway, you don't realize what sin is in God's sight. But they're all gone for me. You know, there was a judge, and I told this one time before. Usually I told it at the end of the year, Christmas season. But anyway, in Terrence, California, there was a judge in that small town who on Christmas Eve day was holding court. And everyone, the first one that came before him, he said $500 fine and 3 days in jail, which I'll suspend and good behavior. I'll forgive the $500 too. You may go. The rest of them there couldn't believe it. They all had tickets and offenses, affidavits. They just looked at each other, and the judge says, in the spirit of the season, I did that. And I'm going to do it for everyone here that comes before me today. I'm going to forgive all of you, whatever is the charge. Isn't that something? Isn't that lovely? Yeah, it's lovely. Well, they came. By 4 o'clock, there was just as many in the courtroom as there was at 9 o'clock when it started. What happened? The ones that got their offenses forgiven ran to the phone and said to their friends and relatives, get over here. Have the clerk move your case up. Tell them you're going to plead guilty, but get over here. And so the clerk would always move them up if they're pleading guilty. Get rid of a lot of the docket. So that poor judge looked at all those people, and it was about time to close court. And he said, I'm going to be true to my word. All of you, tell the clerk you were here. And when we start tomorrow, I don't know if it was tomorrow or Monday, I'll keep my promise. You'll all be forgiven. Your sins, I mean, your offenses will be done with. Was he just? No, he wasn't just. He overlooked all their sins, all their offenses. He wasn't just. So I'll tell you something. The very same day in Tucson, Arizona, there was another judge trying cases. Christmas Eve day. And he wasn't doing that, but he was expecting, they were expecting a Mexican man from Mexico to appear, because he gave them 30 days. 30 days before, he was arrested in an accident driving under the influence of alcohol. And he fined him $500, and he would suspend any jail sentence if he brought the $500 in 30 days. But he didn't appear when he called his name. He says, put that affidavit over. We'll give him till the end of the day. About 3 o'clock, door opened, and that old Mexican man came in, stumbling in, sweating, and he was hugging in his arms a plastic jug. Everybody looked at him, and the judge looked at him, and he came up before the judge, and he put that big jug on the bar, the judge's desk. Then he said something in Spanish. The judge says, get the interpreter. So they got the interpreter. He told the judge he was sorry. But he brought all that he could collect and gather in 30 days. But he was about $167 short. And he said, Judge, if you'll just give me another week, I will promise to be here with that extra money I owe you. You know, the judge had tears in his eyes. He told the people, I've never experienced anything like this. Never. That man didn't have to appear. He didn't have to come back to the United States. We have no jurisdiction over him. He was free. And yet, he gathered all he could and walked all the way and paid what he had and begged for another week. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forgive him everything else that's still owing. You're free. And the interpreter told him, and that man was so rejoicing. Wasn't that a lovely thing to do? He wasn't just. He wasn't just when he justified that man. He overlooked the fine. He didn't bring in 500. So, brethren, God will be just when he justifies you. I'm going to turn to Luke. I may not have much time, but I can do this fast if I find it. I think it's Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee the others a publican, whom the Pharisees and the religious leaders called publican and sinner. They considered him like that, like we do ice cream and cake. They never mentioned publican without saying sinner. All right. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. You know, isn't it wonderful that he's there to pray and he thanks God? Isn't that good? He said, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, sinner. Isn't that something? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. It's an eye prayer. You know, there's a mighty big eye in the middle of pride. And that was an eye prayer. And he prayed five times longer than that publican. And the publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes, verse 13, unto heaven. He was so ashamed, he smote his breast, and he said seven words, brethren. Sinners, seven words. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. What did Jesus say? Justified. Isn't that wonderful? He can be just and justify all them that believe. And you know that publican believed two things. He was worthless, and Christ was ready to save him. That's all you got to believe. You're worthless until you come to the end of yourself like the prodigal son. You can't repent. You can't repent. There's no salvation without repentance. But repentance is the most beautiful emotion that there is. When Christ brings you to repentance, that's beautiful. You realize you're helpless. You're lost. You're nothing. And then you cry out to God for mercy. Isn't that lovely? The publican said, be merciful to me. Is that what he said? Let's see. I think it was. Wait a minute. God be merciful to me, the sinner. That's coming to the end of yourself. Isn't that wonderful? We like to hang on to something, don't we? I mean, there's some little good I got left. No, you don't. But Jesus Christ is ready to save anyone, worthless though they are, and give them all the riches of glory. What a wonderful story. I hope there isn't one here who would dare leave this room in your sins. I say dare. You're daring God not to send his son tonight. Because if his son came, you're on your way to hell. There's no doubt about it. And if you die in your sins, you're going to die again. That's the picture that's ahead of you. If you don't receive Jesus Christ as Savior tonight. You know, there's no time left. I know that. No time left. So, the clock of life is only wound once. And no man has the power. Let's see if I remember it. It's been a while since I used. The clock of life is wound but once. No man has the power to tell what hour the hand shall stop, late or early hour, I believe that is the first verse. But to lose one's health is sad indeed. To lose one's wealth is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss. No one can restore eternity in hell when it could be in glory. It's up to you tonight. You know, it's up to you tonight. Let's look to God, commend ourselves as we leave. Our gracious, loving God and Father, we thank thee for thy word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. We give thee thanks that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how wonderful it is, one verse, if believed, can take a sinner to glory. We pray there aren't any here tonight that would dare walk out of this building in their sins. How dreadful. More than that, put their head on their pillow tonight in their sins and not knowing whether they wake up in eternity or not. What an awful thought. Our God and Father, we know thou would have all to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So save them before it's forever too late. We give thee thanks for the gospel and thy love and grace and mercy that's still pleading with willful, lost sinners. We commend it all to thee, Father, in the worthy name of thy beloved Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.